was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
That's what we celebrate. For a lot of people, Easter's just another holiday, a three-day weekend of fun and no work. And for others, it's chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs. But we know better. You know, we know better. For Christians, Easter means the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It means the promise of life after death. This life, you know, this is just temporary here. There's more to it. It means hope of a better life. It means joy. The resurrection of Jesus is the basis of our faith. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're just wasting our time. Every Sunday, every day, believe me. The words, "He is not here, but he is risen," change the course of history. And they continue to do so. Let us take a look at why the resurrection is so important this morning. The resurrection of Jesus is really total. It's awesome, isn't it? Even though many people of this world today, they don't know Jesus. They don't know what we know. They don't have a relationship with him. And many people doubt. You know, but Jesus is alive. He's alive today. He is alive, and he walked out of that tomb alive. And when was this, you know, when the stone was rolled away, it was not rolled away for him to come out. The stone was rolled away so that we could look in. It was rolled away so that the empty tomb could be visible to all. The empty tomb is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. You know, critics have tried to explain it, you know, away, even in Jesus' time. They wanted to say, make up different things about he was stolen, the body was stolen, and the disciples deceived him. And they, you know, but those things have not been proved. And even to this day, the empty tomb still stands as the evidence to all that Jesus is not dead. He is alive today. Easter means victory. Victory over death and hell and the grave. Victory over hell. Victory over sin. Victory over the grave. Victory over sickness. I want to read this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for dying on a cross. Lord, I thank you for rising again on the third day. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with us. Lord, be in the living rooms of those listening right now or driving in their cars or wherever they're at, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit open up our minds, Lord. Clear our minds. Open up our hearts, Lord, so that we may receive your word. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3, it says, "For what I received I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." And I want to skip down to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. It says, "Will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." And the first thing this morning I want to talk about is we have victory over death. In verse 42, Paul says, "We are sown perishable, but because of the resurrection, we are raised imperishable. We are born into this life as perishable beings. But because of the resurrection, we have eternal life. And from the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you have victory over death. Your physical body may fail you, but your soul will never die. You will be raised forever to live with Jesus in heaven." Amen. You become imperishable. In the resurrection account, the angel said to the woman at the empty tomb, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" They did not understand, but they soon would. When they realized what it meant, what he meant, they no longer spend their lives fascinated with death. They spend the rest of their lives fascinated with life. And that is true today for us that believe. We know that we have new life in Jesus Christ. There's more to this life. There's more. This is just temporary. When we die, Paul said, "My death is my gain, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." In Christ, the greatest and the lowliest people have the assurance that death is no longer victor because of the resurrection of Christ. The second thing is we have victory over sin. He goes on to say that we are sown in dishonor. We are born in sin, but because of the resurrection, we are raised in the glory of the Father. When we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, we are able to stand before God, spotless, just as we had never sinned before. All the sin that we committed, Christ's blood washed it away. And when he walked out of that tomb and now sits at the right hand of the Father, saying, "This is my child. Father, I died for this child." That's what he says. One of these days when we make it to heaven, Paul says that we are sown in weakness, but through the resurrection of Jesus, we are raised in power. We are born weak with no power to resist sin and temptation, but because of the resurrection of Jesus, the power of sin over our lives can be broken. The Bible says all power is given unto them who believe. We have power. We have power over that. Though we were dead, yet shall we live. Do you know what that means this morning? It means that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have power over sin. We have power over temptation. We have power over lust of the flesh. We have power over drugs and alcohol. We have power over broken relationships. We have power over financial bondage. And we have power over every circumstance in our life. All power is given to us through the resurrection of Jesus. And since the power of God was able to raise Jesus from the dead, how much more can that same power enable us to live extraordinary lives for Jesus Christ? You know, it also demonstrates the power of a comeback. You know, God is a God of second chances. He can turn things around when they seem hopeless. You know, and I've known people who at one time in their life may have had a relationship. They came to church and they had a relationship with Jesus. But because of some circumstance, because of life, sometimes things get in our way because of broken relationships or jobs get us torn away from that, and we walk away from our relationship. And I'm telling you, if you're hearing this message this morning, know this, that God is a God of second chances. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, separated from the Father, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But God is a God of second chance. He forsakes us not, and what seemed so hopeless that Friday afternoon was to become the greatest comeback on Sunday morning, 3 days later. Nobody standing around that cross on that Friday, seeing Jesus crucified, watching him take his final breath, realized that just in 3 days, the greatest event would happen when he walked out of that tomb. And let me tell you that no matter how far you have strayed away from God, no matter how long you have been on that wayward path, on that broad road, it is not too late because of Christ's resurrection. You can reach up from wherever you are today and take the hand that is reaching out to you, and you can make a comeback. He also demonstrates the reach of God's redemption. This is what the resurrection does. Look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, 7 and 8. "Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last to me as an abnormally born." In the Greek, that phrase, "one abnormally born," is one word which means literally to be snatched from the womb as like a cesarean or a C-section or an abortion. You see, Paul had nothing to be proud of. He persecuted the Christians. He says, "I am the least of the apostles. It was only by the grace of God that I am what I am." He has snatched He was snatched out of the depths of his sinfulness. What Paul is saying here is that no matter how unworthy we are, no matter how undeserving we are, his grace is sufficient. When we come to him confessing our sins and inviting him into our lives, he reaches down wherever we might be and he lifts us into his everlasting arms. Psalms 119 tells us that there is never a mountain too high and never a sea too deep, never a place too far that God cannot reach us. And God should have given up on us and gave us the judgment that we deserve. But instead, he offers the blessing of redemption. Amen. So thankful for that. Hallelujah this morning. He is risen. The empty tomb is just a reminder of who we serve, this awesome God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This year, as we celebrate Easter, let us focus our life on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let us act in the power that God has given us as born-again believers. And I know we can't be together physically this morning, but we can be together spiritually. And no matter where you are, in your living rooms or in your car, let us remember the sin, sickness, and disease that has been washed away by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have the victory over death. We have the victory over sin. We have the power to come back. And finally, we see God's redemptive nature. And I say this morning, let us stand and praise him this Easter morning. Let us stand and honor him for walking out of that grave. Let us shout his praises. The girls are going to come and sing a song as we close. If there's anyone here listening, if you're listening to this message this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just lift up your voice to him and reach out. Amen. Reach out to him.
I'm in the river.